Raised Rowdy.
Well, guys, welcome back to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick T.
My name is Kurt Ozon.
And we have our good brother, Mr. Will Jones, here
What's
with us.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Good. We were chatting right before this, talking about the last time you were on the Raised Rowdy podcast network. And that was on the roof of the house that I used to live at that was above a studio. And honestly, it was pretty sick you guys did that because you got to chain smoke a premium cigar on the podcast.
We did.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Kurt was awesome. Would love to do that right now.
And it was like a nice day.
Beautiful day.
Yeah.
Today's a good day for a cigar.
Yeah. Mm. We sat outside a little bit, but we didn't have quite enough time to cigar.
Mm.
You know, it happens.
Yeah.
But, brother, how have you been?
Dude, I've been good. We've been, like, having fun.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
We've been touring all year, writing my butt off, just writing tons of new music,
mm-hmm.
recording new music, releasing new music,
mm-hmm.
the usual stuff, but, like, having more fun with it than I ever have.
That's the best.
Yeah, it's really been awesome, an awesome year.
Yeah.
What's been the most fun part about it?
The touring's been killer. I feel like creatively I've just like found this new space that I've never really been in before, in my writing process,
mm-hmm.
in my creative mindset. I'm just so happy with what I'm doing and like the music that we're writing that it just kind of compounds off itself, I think.
Yeah.
So I've been having so much fun with not just my writes have been incredible. The songs we've been getting is so awesome. And the content that goes with it is really fun
yeah.
because once you're in that space, like creatively, then it inspires every aspect of what you're doing. So you're having a ton of fun doing the content, which is kind of the part that I used to dread the most.
Yeah.
It was like constantly having to make content for new singles.
Yep.
But when you love the music and then you love the content that you're doing, then it's all fun.
Yeah.
So it's been a blast, man. All of that, you know, it all kind of just goes together.
I think that's like a cool part too, is like you can tell when someone's having a good time when they're making social content too.
No doubt.
You know?
I agree, man.
It's like, is it a chore or is it something that's like an extension of the song?
100%. Or just your personality.
Yeah.
Or like who you are. And then I started realizing, I was like, oh, people like to see like personality content
mm-hmm.
when I'm being stupid and like goofy, you 100%. Know? And we did like when we were out on the Gavin Adcock tour, we did a thing like, who's the opener? And I would just like walk around in a ball cap and be like, hey, do y'all know who the opener is? And I had one of those like wireless mics for a camera, but it was like kind of distorted.
Yeah.
So it like sounded really crappy.
Yeah.
And like, man, we had some of the funniest responses. Like Sammy Kershaw was one of the guesses. And so I like kept like bringing it up when I was like, I heard Sammy Kershaw, you know, it was so funny, dude.
Oh, that's so great.
So just content like that, like locking myself out of my truck and just like, you know, somebody like literally pulling a phone out and like, let's see how Will gets back in his old truck.
Yeah.
You know, just stupid stuff, man. We just did a music video visualizer for my last single,
yeah.
Come On In. And the whole song is basically just this chick is like hunting you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she shows up late at night knocking on the old door,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we were listening through the song and it's like this real, when we cut the song, it's like kind of Big Al Anderson meets like Dwight meets Skaggs meets kind of this like just rocking thing. And I was like, man, how can we just take this to another level with the content?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, my wife, Kristen, is currently pregnant with our second child. Yay.
Congrats,
yeah. Babies.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, we got to like get Kristen involved. So we got Kristen in the music video and like filmed it to where you can't really tell she's pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Like, and she's just like hunting me down in this old camper. She finds me and and she like shows me back in there. It's so funny. And then like at the end of the video, she's like knocked up, you know, like
yeah.
I knocked her up or whatever. She's like 6 months pregnant. It's hilarious. So just things like that, just to kind of keep all the creative fun tied together.
Dude, I love that.
And yeah.
I think like when times were changing to start, people were just like scared of content and like
I was for sure.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like natural, right? But
right.
I think as you start doing it more and more, you find the lane of what is natural for you.
For sure. You know?
Well, it's like you're falling into a place with your artistry and songwriting and your voice and your guitar playing, and then the visuals all kind of come with that together.
They
do. It's like you know who you are as an artist more now than you did when you started.
100%. Yeah. And you think you know, and you move to town and you're like, I know who I am. And then you spend like a year or two just kind of running in different little circles creatively. And then you kind of like, for me earlier this year, probably about the Gavin tour, you know, I spent even just like in my musicianship, like I spend a lot of time play an electric guitar and Telecaster and stuff. And I love doing that. I love playing electric guitar.
You're real good at it.
Well, thank you. But I was on stage and we were playing the like the Fillmore in Detroit or something, like a really amazing venue, like just historically really cool. And I was nerding out on that a little bit, and I had my acoustic guitar on for sound check, and it sounded so good. And I was like, you know, I'm just gonna rock this acoustic. And so I started just like breaking pedals down and built like an acoustic board for my acoustic, like on the spot, and put like a little distort, like not full on like Billy Strings or something, you know, but like a little weird, like a way to get a little left lane. And dude, it sounded so good. And I started noticing that, like, in the show, people would come up to me at the merch stand when we were standing there, like, taking pictures and stuff, and they would all reference, like, the acoustic guitar playing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's, like, getting through to people, and that's showing. And so I kind of had this full circle moment, because I was like, well, I'm really an acoustic guitar player. Like, I love playing electric guitar and telly, but I'm really a bluegrass acoustic, you know, Martin Dreadnought flat picker. That's what I did. That's what I've been my whole life. So... Mm-hmm. Just leaning into stuff like that, you know?
That's what you're better at than every single person in Nashville.
No. I have the most fun with it, though.
Good, man.
And, like, on the road this year, just having a, you know, a good group of guys around me on stage, finding players that, you know, understand the music and what we're aiming at, but then, like, sitting back in the saddle on it and, like, leaning into who I am.
Yeah.
And it shows. It that resonates with people because you're just being so the most authentic version of yourself. Like, what? Crazy concept.
I think that's super interesting. And thinking from it, like from a fan's perspective, if you see someone with an electric guitar, you're like, this dude's gonna shred.
Right.
Right. You like think that.
Brad Paisley.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yeah. Whereas like if you see someone with an acoustic but they're picking the shit out of it, it's like that is more different and stands out even more not thinking about it, you know, than it does when you're playing electric and crushing.
And it tells my story a little more.
Yeah.
And I noticed too, like if I'm on stage with an electric guitar and I got, you know, my boy over here on electric guitar, if I'm shredding on electric guitar, most people, they can't really tell, is that like me shredding or is it him playing the guitar because it's loud and there's like production and stuff like that. And not that I'm even doing it for that reason,
right?
To get the attention for it. But you notice that. I was like, you know what? Like, let's add... acoustic guitar with bluegrass rhythm is like a keyboard.
Yeah.
I travel most of the time with a 4-piece band right now. And so I'm like, let's fatten this thing up and I'm just going to hang on acoustic. And it's like inspired me to write really cool songs that I wouldn't have written just thinking in that mindset and live show mindset, you know?
Love that.
So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot of country frontmen that were great acoustic players too. Like Willie Nelson, like, his guitar playing is as iconic as his voice is.
100%.
And another dude who is a motherfucker on acoustic guitar in his own way that no one else plays like is Zach Brown.
No doubt.
He's got a really unique flat picking a nylon thing.
It's like super percussive.
Yeah.
And it's happening, man. Like,
yeah, he's killer, especially like on the early stuff. It's just like sick amount of chicken and all that kind of.
Dude. Yeah, and you can just imagine why, like, Stegall and them were like, let's just put him in the middle of this session band and just let him do his thing.
Let him rip.
Yeah.
Like, let him do his thing. So cool. Yeah, we were talking about Zach earlier.
Yeah, while you were doing something out there.
Yeah, you were.
Drinking water and peeing.
Yeah.
Nice. Way to go.
We were just catching up a little bit this past weekend. Marcus King sat in with Luke. And so Will was sort of telling his Marcus King story. I'm like, you got to tell that on the pod.
All right, it's
pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was coming back. This is my Marcus King, Zach Brown story. So I was coming back from Louisville, Kentucky. And then I was like just about an hour outside of town. And Zach texted me and was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, nothing. He's like, well, we're playing Nissan Stadium. You should come hang out with us on the bus, you know, and everything. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, pretty cool invitation. Zach is the sweetest human on earth. I said, okay, awesome. And so I get down there and I get on the bus and Marcus is hanging on the bus. I'm like, this is cool, man. Like, I'm having a good day today.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting this. And so we're just like talking or whatever, hanging. And then Zach's like, okay, I got this crazy idea. He's like, let's do a guitar battle with you and Marcus King at Nissan Stadium in the middle of our show.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never stepped foot on a stadium stage in front of that many people.
Your knees are weak and like your palms are sweaty when you play stadium for the first time, bro. It's crazy.
I'm not even like, I wasn't nervous. I was just sensory overload. I was just like, wow, dude, like that's so many people. I mean, I remember playing an arena for the first time and I thought that's crazy, like insane. This is, it's unbelievable, man. So he like brings Marcus out from one side and he brings me out from the other. I didn't even have a guitar. And he's like, don't worry about it. Just play one of my guitars. I was like, okay. So he has this like awesome Strat or whatever. I put it on. And then I turn and look and Marcus just like turns around and is adjusting his amp. He just like kind of dimes it. And I was like, oh no. It's all
211 on
211. And it sounded so good. It was a Chicago song.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he had put you on a bluegrass tune, it might have been a little different. If it was Big Mon or something, it would have
come
been,
on.
Yeah.
I'm at home there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're playing like a Chicago tune. And yeah. I was like, okay, I should listen to this tune one time before I step on Nissan Stadium.
And how'd you play?
It went great. Okay, it was like awesome. The funniest part about it was like me and Marcus are going, you know, like doing this guitar battle shred fest thing. And when I get off stage, I just had so many DMs and stuff from buddies that were just attending the show. And they were just hanging out, eating popcorn. And they were just like, is Will Jones like on stage right now? Like, what is Will doing up there? You know? And it was incredible. I got like totally locked out in the front of the house because I didn't have any credentials. And I was like, I want to go see what it sounds like out front. And then they're like, you can't come backstage anymore. And thank God for some random woman who saw me. It was like, no, he's fine. That's my Marcus King story.
How did you get hooked up with Zach Brown? How did you guys become friends?
He started. So we do a show whenever I'm in town. We do a show every Monday night at the local here in town. And it's called the Denim Daddies show. And it's like a super selfish night where we just hang out. We get off the road playing our own original music shows, sets, and we just play whatever random old bunch of haggard, you know, Whitley, Waylon. And so we do that every Monday night. It's a killer band and super fun. And Zach has come out before a bunch of times. And he'll get up and guest in with us and sing. And one night you were there with our friend Corey Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
It was Corey's birthday, I think.
I was there, too.
We had a surprise birthday for Corey. And Corey and his lovely wife showed up, and they were dressed to the tens.
Looking so good.
And so Corey, you know, plays with Will sometimes, and, you know, they had a couple of drinks or whatever, and so Corey gets up, and he sang Michael Jackson song, and he was pitch perfect, looking great,
amazing.
Hair suave,
so
just what a freaking talent.
Yeah.
Well, it was his birthday, so we're all feeding him shots all night long. And then Zach got up and sang some, Zach was there for whatever reason, just enjoying the music, as we all were.
Yeah.
And so Corey gets drunk, and then he goes on stage, and he's like, Zach, I'm singing the song with or without you, bud. And they start playing colder Weather.
That's what it was. Yeah. It's Colder Weather.
And then Zach got on stage, and then they're singing it together. And
magic moment.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Insane.
Angels were weeping and doves were being released. Yes. And then Corey, sorry, Corey, I got to tell a story, but Corey was drunk.
Corey so much.
Tripped over Neil's steel guitar and fell on stage.
And what was so funny was you ever seen someone fall and it feels like you're watching them fall for like 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Slow motion.
Like that was Corey. He fell forever. And then literally he like levitated like back up and kept singing harmony.
In a suit.
Yeah.
You have that video?
I think I do have it.
We might have to find that and maybe throw it in the
B-roll. So good.
What a blessed night, honestly.
Corey would
it was
kill
amazing.
Me.
Yeah.
Hey, he would kill you with love, though. You know.
Yeah.
Love that dude.
No, me too. And honestly, like, that night was absolutely electric.
Yeah.
But honestly, dude, and we just popped into one a couple weeks ago. Like, those Mondays are special, man.
It's fun. And people ask me all the time, like, how long am I going to keep doing it? And the answer is, like, until I can't, you know.
Yeah.
Until I've missed a lot of them this year being on the road and stuff. But if I'm in town on a Monday, I'm there, you know.
Well, I mean, it's like the Time Jumpers were doing it for, you know, it's like your version of the Time Jumpers.
100%. Yep. It's just an outlet, like, creatively to get together and just get all that playing out of your system, you know.
And your band is so tight.
Oh, man.
So tight.
They're good, man.
Yeah.
That's a bad to the bone rhythm section right there. Mm-hmm. Brandon Talby and Keo Stroud together.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous gig.
No doubt. Crazy. It's fun. And what's cool is you can go see the Time Jumpers leave and then go see y'all. So
That's right. Monday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, we play till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So
much fun.
Yeah.
But you've been on the road a lot, which is great. I love seeing how busy you are.
Yes.
You mentioned Gavin. I know you did some shows with Ashley. Who else have you been on tour with?
We've been on the Josh Turner tour this year, too.
Yeah. Fuck, that's
which
so
has
country.
Been awesome.
Yeah.
It's been so cool. And I've been doing it solo acoustic direct support, which is amazing logistically because it's easy to get out and back. But mostly it's fun. I got to debut at the Ryman. I made my Ryman debut earlier this year because of Josh. In fact, true story, and I forgot this till one of my sisters reminded me of it. The first time we ever came to Nashville, when you could still like just park on Broadway and like get out and walk around, it was awesome. But we went to the Ryman for a show that night, and I can't remember if it was like the Opry, you know, in the wintertime, or if it was just a Ryman show. But Josh was playing that night, the first time I ever went to the Ryman, and the first time I ever played the Ryman was with Josh earlier this year. So that was really cool. That was really special.
So full circle.
But I love the solo acoustic direct support thing.
Yeah.
It's like a whole different version of what I do.
Yeah.
Because I just walk out, and it's just me and a guitar, nothing to hide behind. Like, if I drop the ball, you definitely know who screwed up, you know. And I lean in. I love it so much. Like, I, you know, they were asking me, we were out on the West Coast last week doing Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. And they'll a lot of times ask me if I want, like, an intro, and I just tell them no. Like, I don't even introduce me. Like, I'll do that. I just like to walk out on stage with an acoustic guitar. It's the way I started.
Yeah.
You know, and just, like, soak up that first, like, 30 seconds of silence when everyone gets awkwardly quiet waiting for the show to start.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I lean into it. So it's really fun. So, yeah, Josh and Ashley, and coming off of last year, I feel like we kind of kept cooking pretty good. Bunch of stuff with my boy Corey Smith.
Yeah. How are those Gavin shows? Because that's a rowdy crowd.
Dude. It was rowdy.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
That wasn't solo acoustic.
No. No, that was loud. That was like rock and roll show.
Yeah.
It was crazy, man. I mean, we were out with him. I can't remember how many dates we did, but we were out with him for like a month and a half or 2 months or something.
Sick.
And it was sick, man. I mean, the whole tour was sold out before, like, we, you know, it was awesome. And I kind of told my guys, I was like, man, knowing Gavin's fan base, you know, knowing they're so diehard, like, you are in the wolf's den. Like, if you wait, they're going to be like, where's Gavin? Yeah. You know, like, we have to wait through this guy to see Gavin. You know, I mean, they're dedicated. So I just told my guys, I was like, all right, we have to literally go out there and actually physically scare the shit out of everyone, like, the first three songs.
I love that.
Because if we don't, then, like, we're doomed.
Not going to have them.
So what are your first three songs out of the gate,
man,
on Gavin?
On Gavin's tour, we start out with my song When It Rains, and then I think we go straight into Whiskey Sippy, and then we take that straight into Hungover Broken Heart, so we're just drop D, crunchy, just...
And it's like with transitions where you're kind of like not really stopping?
That's right, yeah. I'm like a firm believer, as a lot of people are, but I like to hit them with like four or five.
That's what we do. Yeah. Then after the third or fourth song, you're like, hey, y'all, how are you?
It's good to be
Everyone's
here.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's so fun. It kind of sets the tone for the whole show. And,
yeah.
And it kind of gets you in it, too. But it's just rock and roll, man.
Oh, I love
so,
that.
Yeah, that's what Gavin was. I mean, that tour was, it was like one of the most fun tours I've ever been on. And his band is a great hang. They're such good dudes. Mm-hmm. And so our bands all like hung really well, which was killer. And then he'd bring me out every night to do Dinosaur by Hank Jr., you know. Yeah. So I tour pranked him on the last show in Columbus by literally putting one of those inflatable dinosaur suits on. Because it was just...
Had to
be done.
I got to tell a story. So when I was playing with Michael Ray, like when I first joined the band, we were touring with Brantley.
Yep.
And his single at the time was Real Men Love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And... also, to preface this, people don't really know what tour pranks are. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's like you come out in a dinosaur costume. People are like, oh, he's being funny. You know,
right.
It's like
100%.
So if you don't know what a tour prank is, like usually the last show of the tour, you prank each other. You know,
that's
it's
right.
Like fill their bus up with little cups of water, do something stupid.
Yeah.
Well, during our set, the last show of the Brantley tour, they came out during Real Men with Jesus, which was our last song. Like Kanan and Brantley, some of the crew came out dressed as Jesus and like came out and like were dancing around and stuff. And then in the paper, someone wrote this thing about how like blasphemous the Michael Ray show was.
Y'all are like, we love Jesus.
Yeah. Like, no, it's not. Well, we weren't doing it. They were doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So people didn't realize it. So not the best editor prank.
That's funny.
I would like to see that headline.
Yeah, oh,
I'm sure
there's
wild.
If you go to my Facebook page, like, and I go to 2016, there's like a photo of me with a guitar and like Kanan's bass player dressed as Jesus next
like
to me
just,
somewhere.
That's funny as heck.
I've seen it where they'll like start removing like the drum set,
yeah,
like piece by piece. That's a pretty good one.
We did another one that it's like you're like, oh, we're not gonna do tour pranks. And this last show, you're like, fuck, we gotta do a tour prank.
We gotta do one.
Yeah. So, one we did was like, we were just giving Jameson Rogers like a shot, like we'd walk on stage and bring a shot, and they're like, "Oh, cool, cheers." Next song, another one, and it was like, then it was like they got off stage and they were just like, "We can't even put our gear up." They're just like hammered.
Oh, tour pranks, man.
Wild.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I know he was like totally did not expect it either. Because like we hit it, and then I had security bring me in from outside the venue with flashlights, like to the stage. I'm sure the crowd was like, "What the heck?
Yeah,
is this dude doing it."
That's good, clean fun.
Yeah.
You don't want to like go too hard on the pranks to where it ruins the show for the people in the audience.
For sure.
You know?
No, you can't do that. There's a balance there.
Yeah, I think Lanko came out dressed as Beers during Beer Never Broke My Heart 1 year.
Perfect.
Just came out and sang and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Darius, like, you dressed as a wagon wheel or something. You know, it's like, whatever.
Easy.
Yeah.
A wagon wheel. Oh, man. So, yeah, we've been having fun this year.
That's the best,
it's
man.
Just all that stuff, you know? I mean, for me, I'm getting to live my dream, you know? It's like I get to write music, I get to record it, and then I get to go out and tour and play and be a part of really cool shows, you know, be the guest in other people's houses, so to speak, you know. But yeah, it's been awesome.
I remember internally for years with Raise Rowdy, like talking about you, like even like when your music wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
Just how much we thought you were it and how good you were. And just like the coolest part about being in Nashville is getting to see stuff before it's there.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that's the last time you get to see it in town, other than maybe once a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So honestly, like, it is a blessing for the music community that we still get to see you in town more often than we do with most artists. And we're extremely thankful for that.
Oh,
because
appreciate it, man.
Your version of country music is, in my heart, and I know Kurt's heart too, the thing that we love to watch live.
Yeah. Right? Well, I think it's like who we grew up idolizing, you know? Like, I grew up, like, listening to Marty and Keith Whitley and Vince Gill and all these guys, and I was like, man, like, I want to get out on stage with just amps and like crank it and let it rip, you know, that's what I want to do, like, and that's what we're doing, and it's super super fun.
Yeah.
But nice. I also love Nashville, like, I'll, you know,
it's a great town.
Yeah, like, moving to Nashville, I kind of moved at an awkward time, like a lot of people did, because I moved right before COVID, and so then COVID happened and whatever, I don't even know what those years were. It was like some black hole that did or didn't happen.
I don't remember.
I don't know. So I came out of that, you know, unscathed, and signed my first publishing deal. And then I was like, at that point, I felt like I was like finally getting into the fabric of Nashville and the songwriting community.
Yeah.
And I just love it, man. I'm still over on Music Row writing, you know, every day I'm home, and it's the best.
Yeah.
So I like being in Nashville. I like playing music in Nashville, even if it's just Monday nights. Like, it's kind of a way to see everybody and hang out.
These kids that are coming to town to see the thing.
No doubt.
Like Colton Dawson.
No doubt. Saw him last night. Yeah. He was hanging out with us. We got him up. Zach was there.
Yeah.
You know, like, whenever, I mean, he had already moved to town, maybe even before me, but he was coming and hanging out with us every Monday, and his whole band, they still come in there on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Goodwin.
Yeah.
Just so many, like, just great talent.
And it's a home for that traditional badass player, like, thing that is, like, having a moment right now.
It
is. Amazing.
I know. It's really exciting. I mean, I think for me, it was, like so many people, it was a Don Kelly band.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that was, I think Guthrie was playing with them the first time I saw him, and I was like, I went home and bought a Telecaster.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to know how to, you know, guitar nerd. I was like, I want to know how to do that.
Yeah.
And then that deep dived into, you know, all the greats. But yeah, man, so it's like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool. And we've had so many cool people come out too and just like guest in with us.
Yeah.
And like, Jamie and Riley and Zach Brown and just so many people. And I'm glad that they feel comfortable enough like to hang out. And we don't ever put any pressure on anyone to get up and sing. If they want to, they can. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times they get hanging out and they're like, yeah, I kind of want to get in on this. And they'll get up and sing something. And it's like, I'm glad they feel that comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, with the Den of Daddies.
Yeah, dude. It's you're fostering a community.
Yeah.
Right.
Really.
But that's the community that like we
imagine
being here.
It's home base. Yep. It's a safe place for country music, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's the best. Like that.
It is. I always get up there and play, and I'm like 10 beers in or something.
You're like, let me rip on this steel.
What key is Neon Moon in? I'm like,
no, dude. Yeah. I don't know how y'all do that in general. It's like flying an airplane.
Oh, the steel guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought I would sit down one time and be like, oh, yeah, I can.
Jody one time, he was like, do you want to play fiddle? And I was like,
Bartula?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, for a second, I was like, yeah. And then I was like, fuck no. I don't know. I can't do it stone cold sober. Like, I have to, like, practice my one part, and, like, that's the only thing I can do. If I try to, like, jam, it's, like, not the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I try to remember how special it is, you know, when I'm tired and stuff, too, because I think of, like, just, like, even y'all coming out. Mm-hmm. If I was to go back to my hometown, you know, and, like, if I could fast forward that and think about that, it's like, oh, wait, like, I'm legitimately friends with badass people who are doing really awesome things and on giant tours with Luke Combs and mm-hmm. all these big mega stars. But when you get in Nashville and you go to like a local and everyone's just hanging out, we're just all being the same music nerds that we were before we moved to town. And it's like, yep. That's it, man.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes it feel like a small town.
It does. It's a, I always say like that Nashville is a very small town on top of a big city.
For sure.
The music community is tight, and your crew is badass.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that you've assembled are badass.
For sure, and I was lucky to meet a lot of them, too, like, after I first moved, like, Sam Banks and Dan Alley and then mm-hmm. boys, Corey.
Of course. Mm-hmm. The homies.
Yeah.
They're all crushing now,
they're
bro.
Killing it.
Bro.
Killing it.
Yes. Oh, dude, Dan, killing it.
Yeah.
Just got Sam, his first number one.
Yeah.
Sam, freaking the bartender in Destin with Riley Green and his artist stuff.
Yep. Corey, just great hair. And also plays for Luke Combs, you know?
Low key.
Yeah.
Great hair.
Dude, and fucking Will Jones, bro.
Dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's like so fun, man. I first met those guys when I first moved to town. I met Sam, and he's like, me and Sam like hit it off, and he's like, you need to know my buddy Dan Alley. And at the time, they were living together. And then after that, we just spent all our time over there at that little house, just mm-hmm. like hanging out, building fires, and playing country music mm-hmm. together. So yeah, man, it's been incredible, and it's only getting more fun.
Yeah. And now you get to be out on the road because, again, like we talked about that, like, secret, the Nashville secret that we get to see. Now it's not a secret anymore. You're out in front of bigs.
Yeah.
Freaking artists getting to show it off.
Yeah, man. It's where the rubber hits the road, and mm-hmm. that's what all the work's for. I always say we sit around and write these songs so that we can go sing them, you know, in front of people. And honestly, still, even now, I mean, being on the road is where I'm happiest.
Yeah.
Like, it's two different worlds, obviously. I love my day-to-day in Nashville and writing. Mm-hmm. Getting out on the road is where it's at. And
making
that's kind of, and it's just a great reset. You're like, this is why we're doing everything we're doing in Nashville mm-hmm. is for this. And it's for them. It's for the fans that show up and pay money to be there. You're like, you're who I'm doing it for. What do you want? Like, what can I give you?
And it informs the writing too, I'm sure.
Big time. Like last year changed everything. Cause I signed my first publishing deal with Universal and I was there for 3 years. But when I started touring, we got thrown off the deep end last year. I did, because we got thrown on John Party's tour. So that was like my first arena. I didn't have a manager. I didn't have a tour manager. I didn't hardly have merch.
Crazy.
Like, I was, you know, nothing.
Green
in that aspect.
Right.
Like, we're not, you know, it's one thing to go into, like, play clubs and do cover shows like I did forever. But you jump into that area. And I'm like, I remember, in fact, true story, my brother-in-law used to be a booking agent for Red 11 and before they went to William Morris. But literally someone was like, hey, Will, you need to advance these shows. And I was so green about it, I didn't even know what advance a show meant.
Google it.
I called Tyler. I was like, Tyler, they keep using this word, like, advance. Like, what are they talking about? He's like, oh, I got you. And he, like, told me. So we did that, and then we're on Ashley McBride's tour, and all that just kind of kept rolling.
I love her.
She is one of the best humans on earth.
I mean, Nick's got Ashton McBride tattoo, so.
Yeah.
Dude.
I got a Bible and a 44 on
it. Oh, that's awesome. Actually, that's a really cool tattoo. She's incredible. And the artists like that have been so good to me. And they have had absolutely no reason to. Like, you know what I mean? They just genuinely have. Like, the first show we did with Ashley, I just told her, I was like, I have a friend crush on you. I just want to be your friend so bad. And she's like, we're friends. I was like,
she's friends to everybody.
She's the best, dude. Yeah. Like, what a saint.
She has this, like, way of just making you feel comfortable around her.
100%. And when you go to her shows, her audience is, it's, like, unlike any space I've been in that regard. Like, it's just, everyone feels so comfortable to be there.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, that's impressive.
It really is. And it's just the warmth that radiates off of that woman, you know?
No doubt.
Like, it's in the show, too. She has that show. If it's an Ashley McBride show and it's her crowd, it is in the palm of her hand the entire time.
The whole time, dude.
The whole time.
Also, I mean, just outside of being a great person, like, what a talent.
Totally. Yeah.
It's impressive, man.
Vocal talent, storyteller.
All of it.
Knowing when to put the moments.
Entertainer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All of it.
It's awesome, man. people like that, I mean, it's a very humbling thing to see, like, people that you look up to when you move to town. We're all gambling when we move to town, especially when you're, like, doing the artist thing. You have no idea.
Yep.
You're rolling the dice. You're using valuable years of your life to do that. Mm-hmm. While other people are, like, chasing a 9-to-5 corporate ladder, you know, you're like, man, am I, like, screwing up? Like, am I making the right choice? I mean, music's the only thing I've ever known since I can literally, I can't hardly remember not having a guitar in my hand.
Yeah.
And so you're just kind of going off of that. But when you see these artists like Ashley and Josh Turner and just different, all the artists that's been so good to me, mm-hmm. that it's like a very humbling thing, man. It's like really special.
Well, man, and that's them saying, yes, this is good. Not only is it good, it's so good that I want to show it to the people.
Yeah.
And that's them taking a shot on you.
In front of their audience.
Exactly.
Stamp of approval.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Like, hey, this is cool.
Yeah.
Let me show it to you.
Yeah, man. And just, yeah, I remember, like, Lainey, you know, when Lainey.
She's so great.
See you later. Yeah. Whenever she just took off to Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
But we were doing a show with her. Me and May Estes were on a lineup with her. They let us support her in Texas. We were opening the show. And Lainey's, like, getting ready to go on stage. And like, Mandolin came and, like, one of them came and grabbed and was like, hey, Lainey wants to see you before she goes on stage or whatever. And, like, me and May went over there and talked to her and just had the most and, like, she's about to walk on stage any minute. You know, it's a very hectic situation at that time. And she just, like, had the most genuine conversation, like, catching up. Like, how are you? Talking normal. And you're like, man, like, what a – that's talent. That's awesome. Like, what a good person, you know? So, yeah, there's, like, so many, like, great humans winning in country music right now, and I love to see it.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Me too, man.
I feel so inspired right now.
Me too.
This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the music you've been releasing recently.
Sure.
So, most recent single.
Yeah, Come On In.
Yeah.
Yeah, Come On In. We just released it. When was it? Last week, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday. Just a fun, upbeat, honky-tonk, you know, like I was saying, kind of that Big Al Anderson, rockin' Dwighty kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The single, I love it.
Yep.
Wrote it with Wyatt McCubbin and Eric Dillon.
Mm-hmm. Legends, both of them.
I'm hearing Wyatt's name a lot on the pod recently.
That's good. That's what you want.
That's what you want. That's what a talent there, too, man. And Eric, too.
Same.
Of course.
Yeah. So super fun single. Like mm-hmm. I was talking about, just, you know, having fun with all this content we're making.
Yeah.
Bringing my wife in on the video when we made the music video.
When
we were expecting our next child. And so she makes a big entrance into that, and she's she's the woman in the video chasing mm-hmm. me down,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. So yeah, Come On In, just released last Friday. I love it so much, and it just fits into kind of this, we're writing towards a record.
Mm-hmm.
So like all of it, you know, as we release these songs, it's just, I want it to be a really fun musical journey for everybody when they hear it, just to take them different places. And then the single before that, Lonesome Dove, mm-hmm. one of my all-time favorite songs that I've been a part of writing. It's just country music.
Yep.
And wrote that with Dan Wilson, Davis Corley, and Lee Starr. And of course, me and Lee and Davis go back. You know, we've written so many of the songs I've released together.
Yeah.
And I just love the movie, the Western series Lonesome Dove.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And it was Lee talking about it. He was like, man, like, what would Gus say to Lori Darling in a bar, in a saloon, you know?
Mm-hmm. At the local.
Yeah.
At the local.
Yeah. Where the music video is.
That's right.
Yeah.
The bright lights.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we wrote it from that approach, and it's just country, the kind of country music I love.
Yeah.
I love to write, and I love to sing. And, hey, Davis, you know, too. if you're single, they ain't always looking for love, brother.
Yeah.
They, you know, you might just want to have a good time. You ain't got to be lonesome, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sends a really cool message, and it's been fun to play that live and see how it connects with people, and, you know.
As you've gotten out in front of bigger audiences, have – like the songs you're thinking about writing changed, or is it just like what you're putting in the set list that changed? Or
no, I think you just realize as a songwriter,
yeah,
will this connect with people?
Mm-hmm.
Is this like an honest lyric?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think the key is authenticity, being authentic to who you are. And we were talking about that earlier, just me on an acoustic guitar and just like leaning into my bluegrass background
mm-hmm.
and where I'm from. And yeah, it just really changes your songwriting a lot. Because you immediately imagine singing that live, and you're like, is that going to make that person have fun or feel something or connect in an authentic, honest way?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's changed it big time.
I love that.
I feel like over the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. It's so cool to watch it grow, man. It's like we've known how good you are, and when you grace our stage, either acoustically or your full band, just the talent that you have and that you've surrounded yourself with is awesome.
Yeah.
And there's, we always talk about, like, when someone's on stage and you can't look away, you know, they got it. And bro, you have that.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Well, like we were talking about, I believe in surrounding yourself by badass people, you know, people who are better than you. And I've been lucky enough to do that. Even songwriting, musicianship, like, I want to be around those people.
Yeah.
I want to be the all-star, around the all-star players.
Yes.
You know, learning from them. And I still do it. I was literally at the house before I came over here, and I was, like, on YouTube. And Sean Richardson, mm-hmm. who plays for my friend Sierra Hull, and is just a great session player and acoustic guitar player.
Mm-hmm. Monster player.
Monster. Him and Seth are just ferocious.
Totally.
And I remember, like, I was, like, a young bluegrass kid, you know, and I remember when Seth, like, came into the bluegrass world, seeing him come around, I was like, what? Like, I thought I was the young hotshot, you know, acoustic
There's
player.
There's always a bigger fish.
Dude, Seth came along, and I was like, I can't do that. You know what I mean? I was like, what a monster guitar player. But then Sean's, I mean, just incredible. But I was literally watching, like, a video that they did on, like, I don't know who does it. They were doing it at Carter, maybe, and it was, mm-hmm. like, the five levels of... But even then, I'm like, what's Sean got to say? You know, like, where are you at? I'm trying to dig around in there a little bit.
He's got a deep well of, like, harmonic knowledge, Sean does.
That's what he was getting into, and I was like, that's it. I love it. You know, even when, you know, you're listening to, like Tony.
Yeah.
You know, and you go back to that Tony Rice stuff. You're like, man, so much of that stuff, I think the reason why it feels so, like, at home when you're listening to it is because of, like, all these, like, Celtic influences and harmonic mm-hmm. understandings of making this big earth tony thing happen. And it makes you feel, like, literally comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, probably because it's in our, like, you know, genes. I mean, yeah. You know.
Especially Tony.
Yeah, dude.
Just the best.
The best, man. Daryl Scott.
Sure.
Dude. Same thing.
YouTube is great, man. I love YouTube. Getting there.
That's about all I watch, I think.
I don't watch... I mean, I watch every once in a while a TV show or something, but I'm like...
I might watch a series.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube all the time, bro.
Me too. Even, like, with this stuff that we've been content-wise touring, it's been... It's kind of funny. But I watch so much YouTube that I was like, man, we should do some vlog-type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, day-to-day touring, you know, and, like, take people through our whole day while we're on the road. And so we've been doing... Like, I bought some of those, like, little fancy microphones that you clip on and...
Mm-hmm. Lav mics or whatever.
Yeah. And just leaning into that part of it, because I think people enjoy seeing that part of it too.
What,
you know, and we're being stupid and goofy and doing dumb things and having fun, and
that's, like, your version of, like, streaming, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're giving the people a little bit of your day.
Yes.
So where they get to see not only how good you are on stage and the journey you can take them on with that, but once they fell in love with that, now they have a whole other part of your life that they can be a part of,
for sure. And I lean into it because I really do want them to know me.
Yeah.
And I want to know them, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm my favorite part of a live show is standing at the merch table afterwards.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And, like, standing there sometimes for hours until the venue closes just to meet every person I can talk to, because people are great, and that's why I do it.
Yeah, that's a high, too.
It is, man.
It's like the stage, but 2.0.
It is. And there's, like, a very tender thing there that I take really personal. Like, when I see someone come up to my merch table and they pull out, like, $20, and I know that they've already spent, like, a pile of money mm-hmm. to be there that night, and then they choose to, like, buy something with my name on it. Mm-hmm. If that don't touch you, dude, then, like, something's wrong with you. You know what I mean? And so I love it. I want to meet everyone.
Yeah.
And get to know them. And it goes full circle, man. It all connects. Songwriting, where you're at. So.
I love that.
Yeah. So life's fun right now.
You're a cool guy, Will, man. Thanks for hanging out with us, bro.
Dude, yeah. I appreciate y'all having me. This is awesome.
It's been a great one. We've had a couple other podcasts today, and each one has been super special. And just honestly, from getting to, like, hang out when you guys were doing the podcast on that back roof, and just watching how much your life has changed in that time frame.
But I literally just wrote a song called Babies in Country Music that I'm going to record. Because lately everyone's like, Will, what have you been up to, dude? And I'm like, making babies and country music. And I was like, I got to write that song.
Oh, yeah.
So we wrote it, and I think I'm going to cut it and put it out here in the next few months.
I love that.
So, yeah, man, I'm just enjoying all aspects of my life. The music, the career, my family, my wife, and my baby, Evie, who's two. And we got a new one on the way.
That's so great.
We'll be here in December.
Do you know the sex yet? Or?
Yeah, it's a little girl. Girl dad. So I'm going to have another little girl. We're going to name her Emery.
Oh, that's awesome.
So just a bunch of little shrieking girls running around the house. And it's killer. I was responsible for Evie yesterday because her daycare was closed. And it was Labor Day. And Kristen was working. And, dude, Kristen got home and, like, Evie's face was, like, covered in dirt. She had, like, a scratch on her knee, like, with a Band-Aid. Like, we went hard in the paint. We played all day. We started out in the backyard. Got pretty adventurous there. Moved it to the playground. Ate some rocked some chicken nuggets and broccoli because that's her jam these days.
Good.
Which is killer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just she likes to ride around in my old truck. She calls it her truck. So I'll put her in the old 96 F-150 and take her for a spin.
It's so
great. Man. Just
babies
making
and country music.
Babies and country music, dude. That's like my whole life right now.
Dude,
and
that's the best, though.
And it's the best. Mm-hmm. It is the best. So, yeah, life's fun. And I appreciate everything y'all do, too.
Dude, we just love
music. For country music and the country music community. It's a lot, man. It's a lot of work, too. I know. I don't know. I've never done it. But I can see that it is definitely a lot of work.
I've had plenty of jobs, and this is the coolest one I've ever had, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? For sure.
This is probably my second coolest job.
Very an honest guy.
An honest man. I've never had Kurt in front of 80,000 people before.
Dude, that's so funny.
Well, thanks for doing your second coolest job with me, man.
Bro. I love you, bro.
You too, man.
Oh, man.
But, Will, it's super cool, like we say, to see the good guys win and
to watch
people live in their dream. And, man, that's the dream.
Thank you.
Babies and country music.
Babies and country music, man. Y'all stay tuned. Yeah, we got all this new music. We've been releasing new singles. We got a new single dropping here in just a few more weeks. Mm-hmm. A couple more weeks, I think, pretty soon. We just filmed all the content for that out on the West Coast while we were hanging in Northern California and stuff. Yeah. So it's really fun and super cool. It's a new song called Ride With Me. But right now, check out Come On In, my latest single, WillJonesCountry.com.
There you go.
Will Jones Official.
Yeah.
Follow him on YouTube
and
Instagram and all the things.
And if you're ever in town, come see Will on that Monday. And if he's not there, we promise the people that he'll put up there instead are also just
you
really
ain't
good.
You ain't
Zach Brown will be there no matter what. And Marcus King.
And Marcus King.
And Jeff Beck. No. Yeah. And Jimmy
Maybe
Hendrix.
Mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so
fun, man. But It's super meaningful, man, and it means so much to the culture of Nashville and to the trends of what you're seeing happening. You know, the reason why all these things are working is because it's the basis, it's the foundation of what country music is.
Yeah, dude. And I think Nashville used to be full of a bunch of characters and like people that didn't follow the rules. You know what I mean? They just did it the way they wanted to do it.
Yep.
And I think Nashville's in a really cool place like that right now.
It is.
And it makes it fun for me too, as a spectator. Yep. But it's like, dude, music's supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. Shredding guitar is supposed to be fun. Writing songs is fun.
Amen.
You know?
So amen.
Do it the way you want to do it, man.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for being here. And make sure you, as Will said, follow him on social media. Check out the new singles. Add them to your playlist so you can listen to them over and over again. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Hopefully we'll have Will back soon.
Come on. Anytime.
Yeah, dude.
That's it.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Thanks so much, dude.
Cheers, beers, hallelujah.
All right, bye.
See you.
That was great, bro. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Dude, you're good at that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I like it.